what comes out of his mouth. This is a wild person. Then the disciples came up and told him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father didn't plant will be uprooted. Leave them alone. They are blind guides, and if the blind guide the blind, both will fall into a pit." Then Peter said, "Explain this parable to us." "You still want to understand it?"
Yes. Yeah.
"Don't you realize that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? But what comes out of the mouth comes from the heart, and this defiles the person. For from the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, sexual immoralities, thefts, false testimonies, slanders. These are the things that defile a person. But eating with unwashed hands does not defile a person." Wednesday we were looking at the previous verses in chapter 15. Jesus, if you remember, has previously fed 5,000 men plus women and children. He sent the crowd away, sent his disciples away on a boat to go to the other side. The crowds saw the miracles he was doing and wanted to make him the king of Israel, a military political leader to overthrow the Roman occupation. But Jesus didn't come to be a military political leader. He came to be the source of forgiveness for our sins. But he is the King of Kings. He's the King of the universe. Everything that you can see, smell, taste, touch, hear, comes from God. There is nothing that isn't from God. Even our ability to not fly out in a million different directions spontaneously, because we're made up of little atoms. And atoms are interesting. And they have, I haven't used this all year, so it's been a year since I used the illustration. In the center of an atom is the nucleus. You got protons and neutrons. So protons are positively charged. If you ever try to put two positive ends of a magnet together, they push apart. Well, God has designed this thing called the nuclear force, or what we call the nuclear force, that when you get these positive little charged protons together, they actually attract each other. Now, if God was not there holding these protons together, all the atoms in the universe would fly everywhere. Well, we are held together by the hand of God. Scientists don't really understand the nuclear force, how it goes from repelling to attracting within that finite distance. But we know. Scripture tells us clearly, God holds everything together. He is the one that keeps everything in existence, and he is the one that spoke and everything came into existence. Well, Jesus sends the crowd away because he has a different plan. This also shows his authority. Even though they wanted to force him to become king, he is able to dismiss them. His disciples, he sends out to go to the other side of the lake, while he goes up into a mountain to pray. And he's watching his disciples. All night, they're struggling against the wind. Now, they've been struggling, and they're about a mile and a half out into the lake, struggling all night. These are not people that have never rowed a boat before. These are fishermen that do this for a living. And they're struggling. And Jesus is praying, and he's watching what's happening to them, just like he watches what happens to us. Did the disciples have a struggle? Yes. Do we have struggles? Yes. Is God unaware of the struggles we go through? No. God knows everything we're going through, and he has a reason for it. But Scripture tells us God doesn't have to tell us why. It tells us that he knows what we're dealing with, and he is there in charge of every situation. In Romans 8:28, and God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Didn't say all things are good. All things work together for good. Because our definition of good might be a packet of money, but that's going to go away real quick. It's going to burn up. It's not going to last into eternity. But what's good is eternity in heaven. Our sins being forgiven. An ability to be with God, fellowshipping forever. And God has given us that option, that opportunity. Not that we can earn salvation on our own, but that he came to pay the debt of our sin. Jesus walks out on the lake while the disciples are struggling. Jesus steps in the boat, and immediately they're at the next shore. The people come after they recognize who Jesus is and bring all their sick, and he heals all their sick. But there's another group, the Pharisees. The Pharisees are the ones that want you to listen to what they have to say. Now, we have people like this today. Not too far up the road, you might remember a guy named David Koresh. He gathered around him a great number of followers that followed what he said they had to do. He said he was speaking from the scripture, but he had put his own twist on it. There have been other leaders and are other leaders that gather huge churches and huge followings. Just do what I say. Follow my way to be right with God. But they're like these Pharisees. They come to Jesus and say, your disciples aren't washing their hands before they eat. It is our tradition that they wash their hands. Why don't your disciples follow our tradition? Why aren't your disciples doing what we say they should do? Why aren't they following us? Jesus says, why have you ignored what the Bible says to do? You have ignored the scripture where it says, honor your father and mother. And anyone who curses his father and mother should be put to death. Because you've got this tradition you made up. If you have parents you don't want to support, you can just say, what I was going to support you with is dedicated to the temple. Now, you don't have to ever give it to the temple. You just got to say it's dedicated to the temple. So when mom or dad says, you know, I need a little help. Oh, I'm sorry. I can't help you, mom, dad. Because that money that I can help you with has been dedicated to the temple. Their tradition ignored the scripture. Let's turn for a moment to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5, and let me show you where scripture says about honoring your father and mother. Sometimes we don't act like the Bereans. Acts 17:11 tells us the Bereans had no more integrity than the Thessalonians because they received the message with great eagerness, but then searched the scriptures every day to see what Paul said was true. Don't believe anybody that stands behind the pulpit just because he says something. Make sure it agrees with scripture. Now, some people make mistakes unintentionally. Some people make mistakes intentionally. Look and make sure it agrees with what God says. You should not accept any teaching that disagrees with God's word. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and so that you may prosper in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Nowhere it says, honor your father and mother if you think they deserve it. No, God has commanded you. And then turn with me to Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus chapter 20. And verse 9. If anyone curses his father or mother, he must be put to death. He has cursed his father or mother. His death is his own fault. God takes very seriously how we show respect and treat our parents. But the Pharisees were saying, you can ignore all that. Just as long as you put a little asterisk by your bank account and said, this is going to go to the temple. Now, they have a thing, it's called korban. So you call it korban instead of getting a temple. But as soon as your parents die, you can say, un-korban, and it's yours again. You do whatever you want to with it. And you didn't really have to give it to the temple. You could just leave it in your bank account and do whatever you want. Jesus is saying, your heart is wrong. And that's why our passage today starts with summoning the crowd. Now, he's just confronted the Pharisees. Have you ever been in a group and somebody says something is wrong, and you say, and you tell them what the truth is? Come here, let me tell you what the truth really is. That's what Jesus is doing. The Pharisees are telling the people to do things that don't agree with God's word. Jesus says, come here, let me tell you what the truth is. Let me clarify. And he says, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles the person, but what comes out of the mouth. And they're saying, oh, if you don't wash your hands, whatever you eat defiles you. You're defiled. There's a whole group of dietary restrictions, and washing hands is not part of it, but how you wash your pots and how you make your meat. It's called a kosher diet. And if you have a kosher diet, you only eat certain kinds of food. That's in the book of Leviticus. And part of the reason for that that God gave was so the Jewish people would remain separate from what everybody else was doing. In the Gospel of Mark, the parallel of this passage here, Jesus said he declared all foods clean. So, okay, so whatever you eat, as long as you thank God for it, it's okay. That's where we're at now. Jesus called the crowd and said, it's not what you eat that defiles you. And then the disciples came up and said, hey, you offended the Pharisees by what you said. You know, we're living in a society that says you can't offend anybody, and there's a little asterisk after that said, unless you're a Christian. If somebody says they're a dog, you can't tell them they're not a dog, because that might offend them. If somebody's confused about their sexuality, you can't tell them what Scripture says, you might offend them. If someone says there's no God, you can't say there is a God, because that might offend them. And you can't pray in public, because that might offend somebody. We need to stop trying to offend people with the truth. The pulpits of the majority of churches in our country are preaching a message not to offend people. Instead, they preach a message, hey, God wants you to be happy. God wants you to be healthy. God wants all your needs taken care of. If you'll just send me so much money, then I'll pray for you and you'll be healthy. I remember one that a few years ago, this pastor was going on a trip to Israel. Send me some money and a handkerchief, and I'll dip it in the Jordan River and send it back to you. nothing special about the Jordan River. I've been there, it's a creek. Canyon Creek is big. Now, at flood stage, it gets pretty wide, but what's special about Israel, and I had the opportunity to visit Israel multiple times, thanks to my time in Page Gray Cruise Lines, otherwise known as the United States Navy. Now, Page Gray Cruise Lines, you know, give us 8 years of your life, and we might take six or seven ports. It's not a real big deal if you're just trying to see foreign places. But it is nice, because I got to go to Israel and see all these places where Jesus was. But there were people worshiping the places. It's not the places important. It's who was there that was important. Jesus made the place important. And if you want to see something that's important, every place on the earth, because Jesus created it. Without Jesus, nothing is made that has been made. Jesus offended the Pharisees. Now, that doesn't mean go out and try to offend people. But it does mean don't stop telling the truth because it might offend somebody. If the truth is offensive, it's because they don't want to hear the truth. Turn with me for a moment to Romans chapter 1. We need to offend people with the truth today in a non-offensive way. Romans chapter 1, beginning verse 18. For God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all godlessness and unrighteousness of people who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. That means to push it down, try to hide it. Since what can be known about God is evident among them because God has shown it to them. God is saying, you can't say, I don't know there's a God, because God has made his presence known to everybody. There's an old saying, there's no such thing as an atheist in a foxhole. Once people start shooting at you, God, I was just pretending you weren't there. Save me from this. Well, we saw the same thing in September 11, 2001. God, save us from whatever's happening with those planes crashing. God is the one that has made his evidence known to everyone. Continue on. Verse 20. For his invisible attributes, that is, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen since the creation of the world, being understood through what has been made. As a result, people are without excuse, for though they knew God, they did not glorify him as God or show gratitude. Instead, their thinking became worthless, and their senseless hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, birds, four-footed animals, and reptiles. Therefore, God delivered them over in the desires of their hearts to sexual impurity, so that their bodies were degraded among themselves. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshiped and served what was created instead of the Creator, who is praised forever. For this reason, God delivered them over to disgraceful passions. Their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. The men in the same way were also left natural relations with women and were inflamed in their lust for one another. Men committed shameless acts with men and received in their own persons the appropriate penalty of their error. And because they did not think it worthwhile to acknowledge God, God delivered them over to a corrupt mind so that they do what is not right. They are filled with all unrighteousness, evil, greed, and wickedness. They are full of envy, murder, quarrels, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, arrogant, proud, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient parents, senseless, untrustworthy, unloving, God's just sentence that those who practice such things deserve to die. They not only do them, but even applaud others who practice them. If you believe that and you say it, you can be put in jail in any country for a while today. You can be fined. Your church can have its doors barred because you speak the truth that disagrees with human wisdom. And the human wisdom says, whatever I want to do is okay, especially if I'm thumbing my nose at what God says is right and wrong. People know what they're doing is right or wrong before God, because God shows it and makes it clear. And God has called us to speak the truth. If you were traveling on a trip and you found out the road ahead, there's been a great sinkhole opened up, and you see other people traveling that same road, would you tell them that if they keep going, they're going to fall into the sinkhole? That might offend them. It might spoil their trip. If you really care about the person, you're going to tell them there's danger ahead. And Jesus is explaining to the crowds, here's the truth. There's danger ahead. And Jesus told his disciples, the Pharisees who are offended by me, just ignore them, because they're blind guides. And a blind guide will lead his followers into a pit. Don't waste your time trying to convince a false teacher that he's teaching false teaching. He knows he's teaching false truth. Spread the truth to those that will hear. There are people that want to hear the truth. But we can be caught up trying to argue with people that have already sold out and will not speak the truth. Preach the truth. There's only two times you need preaching. Just two. In season and out of season. When people want to hear it and when people don't want to hear it. We still need to speak the truth. Just those two times. So that makes it real simple. If they don't want to hear it, they still need to hear it. If they want to hear it, they need to hear it. Because some people that don't want to hear it at one time will be open to hear it at another time. Jesus goes on to explain the parable. And it says, out of the heart come all kind of evil things. And from the heart, the mouth speaks. Last week, I was looking at the news. In Philadelphia, three girls decided to beat up on the crossing guard that was there to help the children get across the street. They decided to jump on her and start kicking her and beating her. In St. Louis, a 65-year-old science teacher was dragged by the foot and punched in the head by another student who didn't like what the teacher said. And what was happening? People had their cell phones filming. They were hooting and hollering as the teacher was getting beat up. This is what's coming from the heart of people. That's not isolated incidents. When you withhold the truth and tell people there are no consequences for wrongdoing, then you're going to get more wrongdoing. Jesus wanted us to understand that out of our heart come all kind of evils. It's not like Flip Wilson used to say, the devil made you do it. The devil doesn't make you do anything unless you're demon possessed. But the devil can make wrongdoing look appealing. Scripture tells us Satan masquerades as an angel of light. He was known as the beautiful angel. And nowhere does it tell us angels no longer look beautiful. Nowhere in Scripture says when they were kicked out of heaven, they were given red long johns, pointed horns, and a pitchfork to carry. No. They make sin look appealing. From the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adultery, sexual immoralities, thefts, false testimony, slander. But God came to cure our heart. We are all guilty at one time or another of breaking all of God's commandments. But God came to offer forgiveness for us. Because, as the book David mentioned, One Heartbeat Away, every one of us is one heartbeat away from facing God. Because once our heart stops, we are before a holy God. Whether we believe or say we believe he exists or not, he's there. And God is a he. And God's not confused. He always refers to himself as he. Even though there are some new Bibles you can get that says she for God or it for God. God's not confused. God's not limited by the vocabulary. God chose the words he chose to give us. It's not up to us to be God's editor. He didn't make mistakes. He came to forgive us of our sins because we're going to stand before a holy God. And if we try to stand before a holy God saying, I was a good person, it's going to show us we're not. The only way into heaven is saying, I have been forgiven. And Jesus came to forgive us of our sin debt. Jesus' last words on the cross, it is finished. Which is a financial term, or found on financial ledgers of the time. It means paid in full. Jesus doesn't need to die for us again. He's already died once for all. It's up to us. Do we accept his penalty for our sin? Or are we going to try to get to heaven on our own good works? We're not going to succeed. The choice is ours. But as we read in Romans, there comes a point where you say no to God's offer of forgiveness enough time, he just gives you over. He stops offering forgiveness because you've said no so many times. Pharaoh of Egypt was an example. Scripture tells us, Pharaoh hardened his heart, Pharaoh hardened his heart, Pharaoh hardened his heart, Pharaoh hardened his heart. God hardened Pharaoh's heart. We each have a limited number of opportunities to accept God's forgiveness. Some people say it's too easy because it's free. It's not free. It's just it's already been paid for. Jesus paid the price that we could never pay. Stand with me for our closing prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this time we can be here. Let us proclaim your word in season and out of season. We pray for these Gospel of John tracts that are going to be distributed, that people that get them will read them. Your word tells us that your word does not return it. We pray that people are drawn to you. In Jesus' name.